Welcome to the last episode of season two. We had such an amazing time bringing on guests this season, and we appreciate all your support throughout the 12 episodes.
In this episode, we'll touch on some grief etiquette, lessons from this past season, and some of our favorite moments. While we're on hiatus, please check out our Griefy Girls book club, where we'll still be posting new episodes.
Welcome to the Two Girls with Grief podcast, the podcast where we share our real and raw experiences with grief. Whether it's tears or laughter, or maybe a little bit of both, we're here to figure it out in real time. We are your hosts. I'm Kendall Rogers.
And I'm Rachel Dwyer.
And while we're not professionals, we are professional grievers.
Every Tuesday, we bring you honest conversations that break down the stigma of grief, one episode at a time, because no one should have to grieve alone. So grab a cup of coffee, settle in, and let's navigate this journey together. Welcome to episode 13, our last episode of season two. Can you believe it, Kendall? We made it through our second season.
It's been a big season. A lot happened.
It has. It's been a very different season because last season it was really just us talking about our grief, and I feel like becoming confident in how we spoke about our grief and really getting our grief stories out for the first time. And it's a very different thing to bring people on and share their experiences and like share experiences with each other. It's like a totally different format. So it was a ton of fun. There was tears involved and a lot of emotion. But overall, I really enjoyed just having guests on and like meeting new people. I think it really just kind of expanded our grief community, which I thought was amazing.
Yeah, throughout this season, whether it was said in one form or another, it all came back to how important it is to find other grievers. And I feel like every single one of the guests had that similar experience or saying or something along those lines of how important it is to find a community, especially in your most vulnerable time.
Yeah. So this episode, we're mostly going to reflect on season two, but we did want to, I guess, end the season with, if we call this, I don't know if we want to call this like grief etiquette, grief rants, some things about grief that have come up as we share about grief that have irked us. So I've written down a few. And if you think of any, Kendall, while we talk about this, add them in. But one that has really irked me, and I've posted about this and I've gotten a lot of pushback, is if you should ask people how somebody died. And I think it's a different scenario when someone just passes away. I do believe that there are people that like deserve to know the information or should be given the option because, right, you might not want to know. But at the same time, it's such a delicate dance, right? It's like when someone passes away, you're not really thinking about who you need to tell. Like you are, but not like every single person, right? Like you're thinking like, okay, the people that are closest to them, but like you're not thinking every single person that needs to know, right? So it's like you might not find out. You might never know. It could be they died in circumstances the family doesn't want to share. Like there's so many different levels to it. So I'm not really talking about that right now. I'm talking about, unless you want to add to that, Kendall, but what I'm talking about in this scenario is if you meet somebody and you're talking and you find out someone passed away or you see someone post about someone passing away, should you ask, how did they die?
Yeah. So
what is your thought on that?
You're essentially saying like you don't have a relationship with the person who's passed or a connection with them. These are just almost strangers in life.
Yes.
Feeling entitled to know whether and how a person has passed on.
Yeah. We might talk about the other scenario at another time, maybe in season three, maybe just posting about it. But I don't really want to focus on that. I think that can have a lot more nuance and can be a longer conversation. This is really just about how people act towards people that are experiencing grief when they meet them for the first time and what we talk about from then on. Because I was thinking and I was like, wow, like 90% or more of the time that I get to talk about my loved ones when I'm not in a space of like other grievers is like people just asking how they died and then moving on. And they're like, oh, how did they die? Oh, I'm sorry. Or like, oh, I can't believe that you've lost so many people. I can never do that. Which I don't know why people say that to me, first off. But because that's like, what? That's not helpful. But then they just ask how they died and they just kind of move on. You know, they move on to their life, move on to the conversation. And it's like, what do you do with that information? You know, like we may never see each other again. Like, why is that what you have to ask? I'm more so like, now, like, let's change the conversation. Let's stop doing that. Like, let's not do that. But what are your thoughts on that, Kendall?
First off, I've always stood on the stance that as a griever, you don't have to explain anything you don't want to. You're going through enough as it is, and it's hard to communicate about your grief in a world that is very undereducated about grief. So in this position, I've said this multiple times on the podcast alone that, you know, if I meet somebody, I do not hesitate to lie about my father's passing. I'm like, to them, if I'm never going to see them again, he could be alive to them. It doesn't matter to this person. If like we become friends later on and that becomes a larger thing, might divulge. And 99% of the time, people are very understanding on why you wouldn't explain that situation. So if you, I feel for so many grievers, you do not have to owe anybody any explanation. I do understand on the other side, though. When I do talk about my father's passing, I do bring up that he did pass from diabetes because in some sense, I do want it to bring up the advocacy awareness around that. So for people that had known my dad or are very close to my family, I don't hesitate to bring up like he did pass away due to diabetic complications because that should lead to a larger conversation about our healthcare system and where that needs change. If you ask me about my experience in the healthcare system, I have stories. But also just he was a type 1 diabetic, but he was also extremely healthy. And I want to also break that stigma that not everybody with diabetes is an unhealthy person. That's a stereotype we as a society project on diabetics. But I feel comfortable with that. You and I have talked a lot about people who die from different experiences that might bring shame or discomfort to not only the person or their family. You know, people may not want other people to know that they died because of suicide. That might be something they want to keep private to their family. I think a lot of things with like drug addiction, those are some things I understand are very difficult and difficult for the person who may have passed and difficult for the family. And that's not owed to the world. Like if the family is still trying to reckon with those feelings, they need that time to figure that out. So full sum and point, and I've made this time and again, no griever is owed any explanation to anybody. And it's weird that we live in this entitlement. We don't even do this in grief group. It's not like we ask, so how did I? Like us as other grievers, like people who get it, we're not even asking that of our own community. Now it comes up, people get to that point. But I even think there's some people in our grief group that hasn't shared that. And by all means, that's their right. And you and I are not owed that information.
Yeah. And I think there are reasons that people would be very upfront with it. Like you said, advocacy. It could be you're advocating for justice or awareness or something. There are reasons that people would share that. I still think at the end of the day, my situation is different from that, but we should have more conversations about how they lived, right? That's separate than people doing advocacy or anything, you know, which is another bucket. But the reason that they're advocating or doing any of that is because they loved them, right? If they didn't, they wouldn't do that, right? There wouldn't be people backing them up or trying to do something positive in the wake of their death, you know, nothing would happen. So that obviously already shows to me that like they love them and they want their legacy to continue in some way. Justice in some way. And I think it's important that that part's also included of like, that's one representation of them showing their love, right? Like by advocacy, justice, whatever, in that scenario. And in the same way, it's like, if you don't lose somebody in a way that's just like, it's a medical or whatever, like I could talk about lupus and it sucks or cancer or diabetes too. Maybe one day I will. Like right now, I don't want to. I don't want to do that. Maybe one day that will change. We always change and grow, whatever. But for me, it's really just like focusing on like, they were such important people. They still are important people to my life.
I want the conversation to be about that. I want to be able to talk about them as they lived and breathed and made an impact in my life. And I think that is what needs to change about death etiquette is like, why do we only care how they died? Why is that the thing? And we're curious, yes, whatever. We think information is the tip of our fingertips, but it isn't always. And I think in so many cases, people think like you need to know the information for whatever reason, but you really don't. You just need to know that somebody lost somebody, especially if you didn't know the person. Like, why do you really need to know that? Let that come out if it needs to, or if the person wants to. Like, let that be the thing. Don't be the person expecting that information.
Yeah.
I think about it.
It's a small boundary, but it's a huge boundary for grievers, and that should be up to the agency of the person, of the griever, not of the reciprocal asking party. It's weird that it's almost a demand to know how people die.
Yeah.
It shouldn't. It's like, I think when it comes to just take it out of the context of death and dying, you should be able to say whatever you want to say about your life, not have people demand that of you. Like if people ask you really information, like, Rachel, tell me your social security number. And you're going to be like, why would I tell you that? That's personal and private information. I'm not going to say that on air to other people listening because that's mine. Like that's my thing. And you shouldn't have this information. But by all means, you could. You know, like by all means, you wanted to share that information, that's your right as well. And it's, I think more the thing of like, in this example, would be on the weirdness is on me asking this information. I think we're just so undereducated as a populace that we don't even think it's a weird question to ask. And it is for grievers, especially right after the loss.
Yeah, it's such a weird question. And also, I think right after loss, it's like, people don't think about how many times you have to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, oh, well, just put it publicly somewhere. And it's like, you don't have to do that, right? Like, you don't have to do that.
It's kind of an obituary, you know, like a lot of times those are published. So,
yeah. And I think just saying someone passed away in health-related reasons, that should be enough. I don't think the general public would need to know more. Like, you know, like what you need to know, the play-by-play. People asked me the play-by-play, actually, for people that, like, hadn't talked to my sister for 15 years. And for me, I'm like, if you didn't even know my sister was sick, you really have no right to be reaching out to me for that type of information. Because that means that she didn't tell you personally.
Yeah.
So, yes, maybe you were close at one point. Maybe you had whatever connection to her at some point. But if you didn't know, then why are you asking me? If you didn't know from her personally, because she was sick for a while, you know, like if you didn't know that, that should be a boundary that you have or restraint. And I think something that happens often, or like it's happened because she died at 29, it's that like, oh, I don't want to die at 29. So what did she do or what happened to her? Whatever. And it's not some like very, I don't know, if it was like Ebola or something, you know, like something to be worried, like it was a measles outbreak or something. I don't know. Maybe I'd feel more advocacy for it, right? Like, okay, I want to help this or help that. And like I said, maybe one day I will advocate for lupus, but I think she might have had more things. But I don't know. The people that are like, oh, I don't want to die, so tell me how she died. I think that's a very selfish take because you could die for whatever amount of reasons. Knowing how my sister died specifically at 29 isn't going to stop you from dying. So maybe chill out on that. Like maybe stop thinking about yourself in those situations. And I think that's just like a very important conversation to have of like, if I see someone die at my age or earlier, yeah, I think like, oh, that's shocking. I might wonder how they died, but I'm not going to then reach out to the family and then be like, how did they die? I want to make sure that doesn't happen to me. I don't know why that's people's first assumption is like, well, I need to make sense of the world and my mortality that I need to ask that. And I'm like, what is that? I don't care. I really don't care about your mortality right now. Maybe I never will. If I don't know you, I'm not really thinking about that for your like own personal thoughts or freakouts. You know, I'm thinking like, hey, my sister's dead. So yeah, maybe I'm not thinking about you and why you think you may die hypothetically at that same age. So I don't know. I think just having these conversations is important because people don't always see it from the point of view as a person that's grieving, the person that's getting a billion questions, the person that's dealing with so much different stuff right after someone passes away. I posted a video saying that I hated that, like, people just ask about that, and it's the only thing people ask. And someone commented, like, I will never ask that question again because I would never want that to be the situation for me. I wouldn't want that to be the only thing people ask about my family members when they pass. And I was like, I so appreciate that response, because that's really all it is like, you might not realize it until you see it through your own eyes. If for the rest of your life, you only talk about your loved ones about that one specific incident when they died, that's really sad. That's like a very depressing thought. Like, why are we only talking about that one thing, right? Like, that one instance is the worst instance of their life and your life. You know, it was the end of their life. Let's talk about everything else about it. And I just think I'm going to be posting more of those things about it. We're going to be on hiatus, but I think posting these things are important, and we're going to keep posting on our socials in between seasons. But yeah, I think it's just important to have these conversations to, like, get people to see things differently. And even if it's just like that one person that changed their mind, that to me is like, I'm happy that I changed one person's mind. And it wasn't like she came in hot about it. It was like the most sincere comment. Like, this just changed how I think about it. Like, I never thought about it that way. And I really appreciate someone listening to my experience and thinking, wow, that does suck. I won't do that anymore. And like, that's such a nice accomplishment for me. It's just like that one person that they see it differently.
Yeah, I say we collectively as a society, it's like we lose our questions and our way to help people. And unfortunately, it is one of the first questions people ask about when someone passes. We need to really retrain how we talk about this and how we see death and dying, because if you've done it in the past and if you've asked this question, like, you live and you learn. I've definitely asked that question. I'm sure I have, you know, and it took me being on this other side of the experience to, like, know how that feels. And so if you're like, I don't know what to say when someone loses somebody, or I don't know how to help or support this person, I think, like, a great way to just keep your brain on track with it is just focus on the griever themselves. You know, like, ask them how they're doing, ask how you can support them, ask them how they're feeling. Ask them if you can take them out for coffee, because regardless, the person is gone. And if you're uncomfortable with death or you're unfamiliar about how to talk about this, which is fair, I certainly was. I was on the other side and didn't have this, like, grief training or grief conversation prior to my passing of my dad. And, like, just in 1 year, I'm learning how to talk about it and I'm learning all these experiences. So I think that's, like, a great, I don't know, maybe shortcut in trying to understand and have open conversation with the griever and show that you care without asking questions that might be inflammatory or insensitive and put the griever in an uncomfortable position.
I think at the end of the day, there's no, like, one right way or wrong way. You know, like, I'm sure I ask people how they died probably a bunch, probably before I experienced it, I'm sure. We all grow, we change, and I think by learning from each other, that's how we get more information. That's how we open our mind and change and grow. I think that's important. I don't think it has to be like arguing or this is right or that's wrong, whatever. Your grief is your grief. You figure that out on your own, right? I think if you just come at it with more compassion, because when you lose somebody, it is so freaking hard. It's there forever. So before you come in with questions just about you and how it pertains to you, think about them. And I think that's just an important thing. Like, you have to get out of your own head and your own freakouts and your own things, right? We all have our own things we're anxious about or whatever. And seeing someone die at some a young age or whatever age or in a certain way might spike something in you. But don't put that on the person grieving, you know, like, take a moment to figure that out before you reach out to somebody. Just go into it with grace. And I think that's just the most important part about grief etiquette is just be kind and think before you ask a question. Maybe pause, like, contemplate what you're going to say. And it might not all work out. You know, it might not land well. But if you're coming from a good place, I think that's what matters. And one day it will resolve. It's, you know, people are hiding emotions. It's a lot. Just go into it with a good heart and good intentions. And it might be a rocky road, but stick with that. And I think the person will feel it at some point, whether they feel it at the right moment or not, they'll feel it eventually.
I think that's really, really how the guiding star on how to navigate this.
So we wanted to end the season by talking about one more topic, and that was just something that's been coming a lot as we have been posting. We want to move towards highlighting some of our favorite moments with our guests that we've had on season two. We've had a bunch of amazing guests in conversations with people, and we just met some really nice people that we're friends with now and built that community, and I think that's great. So we want to just highlight and kind of share some of our favorite moments with each guest. So our first guest that we had on was Brittany Spivey, and she honestly is just such a light. She has such a nice energy, and one thing that she mentioned in the episode was let your pain pay you, and I thought that was such like a nice, I don't say nice way to think about, but just like you're going through something hard, figure out a way for that to like move you into a better direction is how I see that. And she just was like very inspirational and like had such great energy. And she's just someone that I like love every time she posts anything. But what are your like memories from her episode?
From the get-go, her mission is to really highlight people's voice. I think as grievers, like you really crumble. Your world crumbles. You're not who you are anymore. I remember saying like my voice physically changed after my dad died. Like it's become a lot deeper and like more gravelly. Whereas before my voice was not like that. And I don't know what happened in that process, but it did.
All the tears?
Yeah, the salt that dehydrated my vocal cords. Who knows?
Yeah.
But her being, I think, a singing coach and a vocal coach, and then losing her mother, I think just really creates a beautiful perspective that she wants to help people find that confidence with themselves and use their voice in the way to speak upon the thing they need to speak upon. And I think that's God's work out there, like honestly what she's doing. And I never even thought about, wow, someone like the fact that my confidence was completely obliterated after my dad passed. And here's someone who she gets it, like she had lost somebody herself and doing a lot of holistic work to bring back confidence for grievers.
Yeah. I think that's a separate conversation we should probably have more on, is like that confidence that you lose after grief. That's such a good point. That save that. We will come back to that at some point. But yeah, I think it's so important to like think about all the different ways that grief affects you, and just like the work that Brittany's doing is really amazing. And she just has such a great spirit. If you aren't familiar with her yet and you're listening to this episode, go check out her episode, go check her out on TikTok. We have her like website linked to the show notes of that episode. So go check her out. You won't want to miss out on her energy. So our second guest were Jessica and Tripp. They are the founders of The Dead Book. And I think this episode is really useful. We talked about their grief journeys, but it really is, their product is just very useful. Like it is a product that needs to exist, that helps people that are grieving. There's so much to be done when someone passes away that you just can't just be sad. Like you have to do a bunch of work after someone passes away. And I think it's just a really great episode if you have recently had someone pass or someone is sick and you're thinking about all the things or don't know where to start. I think that's a great episode to listen to and check out The Dead Book and what they're doing. But I'll let Kendall expand on it more because I feel like she has more experience with what, one, she bought The Dead Book, but also just what The Dead Book entails, because she has a lot of logistical things for her dad.
Dead Book was certainly something I wish I had of my dad's, because password for accounts that I didn't have, people who handled some of his stuff, I didn't, had no clue existed, didn't know how to get in contact with them. And so my dad was very much a man of another time, a very pencil and paper type of guy, and he didn't know he was going to die suddenly and young. So why would he have had all this planned for? This empowers people in that position where they know they're going to have to take agency over someone's assets and their life. And just to get a jump start on it for peace of mind, it's something I so wish I had rather than just running around. So if you know you're in that position, you know it might come up. I think even if you're approaching that point in your life and you're like, you know, I'm getting concerned that, you know, the end of my life is coming up, but I want to make it easier on the person who's going to have to handle my life afterwards. It's good to start these conversations. It's good to start getting stuff down for them, because I would have paid all the money in the world at the time to just have all the information the dead book provides. And in order and all organized. It was beautiful.
So if you're interested, go check out that episode. It is super helpful. I didn't handle as much of those things, but I've dealt with a lot of other things that they still help with. And yeah, it's a lot to deal with when someone passes away. So if you're trying to make it easier for yourself, go check out that episode and go check out the dead book. So our third guest we had was Carm from Girls Gotta Heal. And it's another example of someone creating a resource for what they wish that they had, which is why we created the podcast. We wish we had something like this. And she's created a amazing community. She has resources. She has like journal prompts. She has this amazing card deck that Kendall also purchased. What is it called? What is her deck called?
Connecting Through Healing, I think.
Yeah, and the cards are really reflective. Like, they are great. They're great questions to ask about your grief. And we went over a few in that episode, and we did some in our grief support group. So we're big fans of that grief deck. And just like, I think it really helps you kind of go through different stuff with your grief that you don't really think about. Like, I think as you're healing with your grief, you can always continue to heal. It's a forever process. So it's interesting when you get a question that you're like, oh my God, I didn't think about that. And Carm is just so lovely. She's also a psychotherapist. So her support is very tailored, and she provides a lot of good tips. And also just to be wary of when looking for grief resources and, you know, who to look to. So overall, it's a really good episode. And I really liked the insight that she provided and all the resources that she has. But anything else you want to add about that episode?
Yeah, very enlightening and evidence-based episode. Some of our episodes, I feel like, are more fun, a little bit. We kind of dive into the supernatural a little bit, but because of her background in psychotherapy, if you're looking for something really like rooted in science and data and evidence-backed, like she really goes into it, which I appreciated.
Yeah. And so our next guest that we had on was Rebecca Feingloss, and this was just a fun episode. I feel like it was like girls chatting over wine, talking about grief and life and memories and boys and all these different things. It was such a fun episode to record. And afterwards, I felt we should do this more often, just like talk about grief and life over wine. Even though we're all in different states, it definitely was a fun episode. She has, one, she's so accomplished. Like, she's done so many different things. She's had so many different lives, it feels like. And she does a lot of great grief advocacy. And I don't think I mentioned she's the founder of Grieve Leave. So she also is doing some amazing things for grief in the workplace. So go check that out if you haven't yet. And she provides a lot of like great resources and things like that. And she's just doing really badass things, honestly.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Anything else you want to add about her episode?
Yeah, it was a really fun episode to record. She goes back into her really sad experience about losing her parents, but she really brings them to light. And I think when we talk about the people we lose, she's a good example of how to add color to them and not just talk about them as people of the past, but people who currently made us who we are. And she's such a wonderful example of that. Honestly, a role model for girls everywhere. I love seeing anything she posts online about her political work that she does. I love what she's posting about Duke and the basketball games. She's just a wonderful woman. If you're looking for someone to have some, I don't know, strength through your grief, I think she's a wonderful person to follow and reach out to.
Yeah, definitely. So check out her episode for all of that and the links to go find her. So our next episode, this one was, I think, our hardest episode to record. It was with Brendan Shaw Grief, and he lost his brother in a traumatic way. Brendan's brother was murdered, and it's a very traumatic loss. And that episode was, I think, the hardest to talk about and very eye-opening. And we talked through a bunch of different things. And after the episode, we talked about even more things that we didn't want to include on the episode. As someone that's lost a sibling, I think it was a very hard episode for me, and not to make this about me, but just like it's one of those things where like, I have such a hard time with my sister's loss and seeing it through his eyes of him losing his brother. And then there's added layers of it being like he was taken in a very senseless way. That to me was just like, I feel so much like empathy and like understanding, but not understanding at all. But just like, I know how much the sibling thing hurts. And then that is just like another extra layers of stuff that I was just like, I don't know. It's one of those things where, like, talking that episode was just really hard. And it's not even about us. It's not even about our loss, but just being able to relate in some way and think about that scenario. It was a tough episode for sure, but definitely learned a lot through that episode. And it's just it was a good episode, but very tough, like a very heavy episode. But what were your thoughts on that, Kendall?
Yeah. And particularly, we only had Felix being a psychic medium and Rob, who talks about death objectively. Brendan was kind of the only one we had on specifically talking about his loss. And not that that was intentional, but that's not a lot of men in this space talking about grief. And you and I have talked about, there's a lot of women in this space talking about grief.
Yeah.
And there could always be more people talking about grief because there's not enough education going around about it. And the fact that he was one of the only men, and not to discount Rob or Felix by any means, they just talked about their specialty and what they were doing. But Brendan was talking about the loss of his brother. And he really dove into those feelings. I felt like the conversation around emotion with grief, he was willing to dive into that and explore that. And you can feel how grief is so multi-layered with many different emotions and led to a lot of good conversations. So for men who are looking for resources on how do you process grief, because it feels like there may not be that much out there for men, Brendan might be a great person to look into and just begin to maybe metabolize this grief from the male perspective, because it is different. It is different as a woman to grieve and be told that you can express these emotions versus a man who's been told you can't. And I have men in my life who have kind of expressed a similar sense of like, well, I can't cry about this because I've been so conditioned that crying is weakness and I can't be weak about this. And I love that Brendan says that it is weak to run away from your grief. It takes a lot of strength to face it head on.
Yeah. Which is, it's hard to do. It's easier to run from it. And I definitely ran from it for a while. So I definitely understand that sentiment. But yeah, it's a very different episode and it's a two-parter because we talked for a while about it. Definitely check that out. Our next guest that we had on was Rob. He is the host of Obsessed with Death podcast, and he's actually just like a very funny guy. And it was very interesting to hear about his journey with why he's obsessed with death and the real reasons that he is. That's, you know, there's anxiety around death. I think a lot of people feel that of like, the unknown, right? You're scared of the unknown and everything that includes. And overall, it was a very fun episode. We did talk, obviously, about some more serious topics, but I think Rob is just like a fun guy. He has his own podcast, obviously, so he's great at talking. Yeah, I just really enjoyed the episode. Guested on his, and we did like a little crossover episode. It was the first time doing like a crossover episode. And yeah, he's just a very like entertaining guy. So we laughed a lot, even though there was a lot of like seriousness in that conversation.
Within having these existential crises, especially griever's face. I don't know about you, but when my dad died, I became, if I wasn't scared about death before, I was definitely afterwards. And that mental health took a nosedive. And it's nice to know that there's somebody else out there who's also like a little bit timid to know about the other side and the unknown. And he has on really great guests on his podcast, and the laughter and the joy just alleviates that inevitability that we will all die someday. And that's once you kind of can swallow that pill, it gets better. Like the anxiety kind of lessens. But if that's the space you're in and you're like, oh my God, I'm going to die one day too, his episode, I think, is really enlightening in that regard.
Yeah. A good episode if you're ever thinking about any of those things. So, our next guest we had on was Alex Ostebo, and she is a fantasy writer. Her book should be releasing sometime in 2025, and she lost her sister. But it was just a very good conversation about sister loss and something, you know, I experienced and kind of having that camaraderie of losing a sister and channeling that into her writing a story about the afterlife and where Denali is now and kind of creating this whole world and kind of making sense of it, I think, in a way to herself, which I think turned into this like beautiful display of like fantasy writing from what she's told us about it. And I think that's a really cool thing. And I think grief can make you really change like what you want to do in life and inspire you and what is meaningful for you. And she said she always wanted to write a book, but it was never about this. I think it's a great way to like keep someone's memory alive. I think the beauty of that is like, it'll always be something that she can talk about. Like always is something that people are going to ask about and hope that it evokes more than like, how did she die conversations. I hope it evokes like, she means so much to you that you've dedicated a whole series about this story. And I think that's a very beautiful thing. And I hope that it kind of evokes more conversation about like just keeping Denali's memory alive. But yeah, it was just a great conversation.
Yeah, her episode was really, I really liked that episode through. She carries like a grace and maturity about her, about loss and the loss of her sister, which obviously that's such a close, intimate, detrimental loss. And the way she sees her grief and the grief of others is just so positive and beautiful. And I'll tell you, through my own grief, it hasn't always been that way. But talking to her, I was like, it is, you know, I think I've always kind of been on the default of like, well, I'm grieving, so that's my excuse to behave like immaturely or irrationally. But she really challenged me to be like, no, you still should hold yourself to a high standard and have patience with people and see the best in people, even in the darkness of times. And if it was just like a mini challenge, even for myself, I was like, man, that's really great. So I'm excited to read her book because it's just a sounds like such a different angle of the afterlife than we've ever heard before. And
yeah,
for people who are religious or have a faith base, this is fantasy, but I still think like it's great to wonder about what it is like on the other side and what does the afterlife include for us. And I think that's just really fun for her to explore that concept, not only just for herself and for her sister, but for other people too who may be wondering, like, you know, we don't have the answer yet to what the other side entails. And so through a fantasy book, I'm really excited to read about that.
Yeah. So I think she said by the end of the year. So we'll post about it as soon as we find out. She said it's done. So it's just kind of in that next stage. So stay tuned for that. So we had a bonus episode. It was actually for our Griefy Girls book club, but we posted it on our main channel as well because it was Sarah Ryan, who I feel like it's just, I don't know, the grief poet, like the one that everyone reposts and shares. And it was a really good conversation to learn about like her inspiration for it, what inspires her. Her background is actually like a therapist, and learning that she comes from it from a very like human perspective and not like a therapist perspective, and how she built her community. And she's just a special person. And I think she's helping a lot of people with her putting grief into words in ways that a lot of people can't.
Yeah, I agree. Going into the episode, I wasn't really sure what to expect. And then to find like, she's very soft-spoken and very sweet, and yet her words carry so much power and emotion. She mentions at some point, like, she just started writing. She just started posting about it because it was didn't really matter to anybody else but to her. Like, these words mattered to her because these were the grief experiences she was having. And other grievers really identified with that and felt seen by her words. And although her losses have happened, you know, a couple of years ago, just like us, you can really tell there's an evolutionary aspect of her writing and through her grief to show that, like, your grief will change and it will evolve and it will look different at different times. And she's so transparent with that, which is really brave because I don't know how to convey those same things the way she did. But yeah,
no.
I really appreciated that episode and talking to her and all the insights she shared with us and the publishing that she did on the back end and all the work it takes there. So yeah, we had two authors back to back. That was really awesome.
Yeah. You learn a lot. I think it's so interesting to hear about people's like inspiration and how they do it, because not that I've wrote poems to like share, but just not even poems, just like writing on your thoughts. And sometimes I think at the time we're like, oh, this is so like profound. I read it back, I'm like, that is not even clear at all, or any, like how I thought it was going to sound. I feel like a lot of people know Sarah Ryan and just a great person and doing a lot for the grief community. So this next episode that we had was with Felix Lerma, who is a psychic medium who I personally went to. And it was such an interesting episode. One, it was the most technical difficulties we've ever had in an episode. It was just chaos, like pure chaos in this episode. If you watch the YouTube version, I had to just remove Kendall out of it because she kept getting dropped. And then even if she was dropped in the recording, somehow she was still showing there. It just was like, it was very confusing. And so she wasn't present for all of the conversation, but I feel like she got the most out of it. Like it, her dad was sending messages through episode. Kendall's power went off. Like it was just so chaotic. And the after recording was like 16 hours long. Like it was just, it didn't make sense. Anything that was going on did not make any sense. You have to listen to the episode to even like, I think, understand it all, the chaos of it. The YouTube version is probably the best way to understand the true chaos of it without ever seeing Kendall's face, but you will hear her voice when she does show up in the episode. But it was good. I think there's so many different like psychic mediums out there and mediums and people preying on people's like darkness and sadness. So I thought it was a good episode for people to like, if you're looking into it, what to expect, what to look out for, what to not do. But also we got some like visits from Kendall's dad that I think made the episode very unique in itself.
Yeah, and Felix himself is just so kind and warm and patient as everything around recording was falling apart. So I think this, like, for one, it was a super educational episode, and he is so graceful and understanding and giving you kind of also warnings too on what to look for. So definitely an enlightening episode for sure. Definitely one of our weirdest episodes.
Yeah, definitely one of the weirdest for sure. And so our second to last guest that we had on was Cara Belvin. She's the founder of Empowered, and she created a nonprofit originally for daughters that have lost their mom at a very young age because that's what she experienced. And now it serves youth, I think boys, girls, non-gender conforming youth and young adults on helping them with parent loss and just kind of how and just how hard that is. And it, I think she started with like a retreat or spending the day doing something for Mother's Day with just like young girls, trying to make it like a positive day, but also supportive day. And it's something so simple, but I think is so powerful. I can see how that's so positive because even now as like an adult, those different days, I don't know what to do. You know, sometimes I test it out. I see what I want to do, but I can see having a community filled day can be really helpful, especially for kids that are trying to figure it out and understand their grief and understand everything. It's a very hard situation. It's really hard to grasp when you lose people. And I think at a young age, even more so because you don't know yourself, you don't know the world. Like it's a very hard thing. And I think Kara's doing amazing things in that space.
Yeah, this episode and the next one really highlight the absolute necessity of community to survive your grief. You can act in isolation with your grief, but it's going to catch up to you. And I think finding friends and community and support and mentors that can be on your side and listen to you and help guide you along to maybe one day, you know, pay it forward to someone else who's going to go through the same experience. Because it's not like death ends. It keeps happening every day to people all the time. And so I love kind of this evolution of her going through this really painful experience for her childhood and then her young adult life. And then for her to almost like be healing that part of her too as she helps children in that same situation she was in. And I think there's something really beautiful about that, and that your grief might feel so big and it's the only thing you can focus on right now. And it should be. If you're in the middle of like really thick grief, that's what you need to focus on. But it's not all you'll ever be forever. There'll come a point where you might be like Rachel and I and be like, there's other ways I can diffuse this grief and maybe do something positive with it. And it doesn't have to ever be as big as starting a foundation like Kara did or starting a podcast like us. But
yeah,
even just little ways to pay it forward. If knowing how to talk about it better when the next time you meet someone who they lose somebody, you know, that conversation might really help them and change their life. And so it's like these tiny little things that hopefully make a bigger impact in the future so people don't have to hurt so hard by themselves.
Yeah. Like she said in the episode, like community is everything. And I think we've also learned that through this podcast is like, it's so nice to have a community of grievers that just like get your grief. I feel like people can kind of understand just the hard parts of it. And I think it's nice for people to to connect on that level. Because I think if you spent so much time not having that community, you understand just like that kinship of people that get it and like that special connection. So our last guest of the season is Hannah Rumsey. She's the founder and host of Friends Missing Friends, and she lost her friend Lauren. And it was a great episode to highlight friendship loss. It's more ambiguous, and it's harder to, I'd say, like, for people to respect that grief, for you to maybe even understand your grief, because I feel like it's maybe talked about the least. Don't quote me on that, but I think it's probably lower on the, you know, spectrum when people talk about grief. It's not something that you can like request work off of. You know, they don't have that in the handbook of friendship loss. And it was just a great conversation how there's not many resources for it, and her experience with that. And she's doing a lot in this space for friendship grief and highlighting it, which I think is really important. And we also just recorded with her to be on her podcast. So stay tuned for that episode. We don't know when that's coming out yet, but we'll post about it as soon as we know.
Yeah, Hannah is so kind and so sweet. And I think found that space where it's like she needed something, it didn't exist. And she went out and was like, well, I'm just going to do it because no one else is doing it. And I can only imagine how many people who are in this, what she calls disenfranchised grief, this space where you're like, how am I supposed to feel about my grief? Because this isn't like a represented relationship in a space where you're supposed to be able to grieve about it. This even had me kind of reevaluating how I grieved about some of my friends that I lost, because I immediately didn't know if I was allowed to feel sad about it and kind of just chucked it out. And I was like, well, I'm too busy worrying about grief with my dad. I can't take on more. But to think, like, you know, these were important people and they had an impact on my life. And just that conversation with her has allowed me to begin to like kind of unpack and untangle that web of emotion that I wasn't ready to quite understand or comprehend yet. And that was just one conversation with her. Like, her podcast is filled with so much insight on this, especially if you're like, I haven't found anything. And her website, wonderful with resources. So if you're looking for books about grief, books about friends, and then books about losing a friend, she has them all there categorized and listed, which I think is great that she's done all the hard work for you.
Yeah, she's very organized, very easy to talk to. Great episode. She made some really good points throughout the episode. So definitely check that out. If you've experienced any friend loss or know somebody that has, I think it's just a great episode. Also, just want to learn about grief. I think all these episodes are great just to expand your mind on grief in general. So every episode was, I think, very different from each other. It was a good learning opportunity to have all these different voices and conversations for sure. But is there any like main lessons that you've taken away from this season having all these guests on?
Yeah. If I had listened to some of these episodes really early on in my grief, I would say probably within the first year of grieving my dad, I think some of the things I might have heard would have pissed me off. And now, years out, I can realize how much it's my own projection into this or my own insecurity about my grief. And I think, one, for hearing these stories and listening to how other people have handled their grief or what they've done with their grief has healed a part of me, because I've, every single one, there's something you could take away. There's a lesson to be taken from all of them. And they're all willing to share. I think that's the most amazing thing about the grief community as a whole, is people are willing to share information because they're like, I've had the hardest time and days of my life trying to deal with this. And I don't want other people to have to go through that similar thing. I mean, you'll have to. It's people dying in grief. And so you'll have to like work through that independently. But these people want to help. And if you are in a space where you're like, this isolation I'm in isn't helping anymore, these people are so insightful and a wealth of information and resources that they've already done a lot of the hard work for you. Like, listening to one that might speak to you to help you overcome some of these challenges you're facing can get you out of a rut or a really dark space.
Yeah, I think for me, a big lesson is just, you never are done grieving and you're never done learning about grief. And you may know your grief so well, but you should never tell somebody else how to grieve. And I think, like Kendall said, when you're in a place with your grief that's more reactive or sensitive, you may think that somebody's wrong, or you might want to tell them they're wrong because that's how you feel personally, or that's your experience. And I think having these conversations with everyone experiencing different types of loss, I think gives you that perspective. And like Kendall said, like if you're really early in your grief, maybe it doesn't land the right way, right? Because you're just not in a place to receive that information. You're not in a place to accept that information. You know, me and Kendall are years away from our grief, so we're not that recent in our grief. So maybe you're in a different place. Like maybe you're not quite where we are, and maybe you want to listen to someone that just lost somebody and they're in the thick of it. And I think season one might be more for you then, because we do talk more about initial feelings and the more, I think, sensitive pieces of our personal grief that maybe you relate to more, where we share about that. This season two was really about expanding our look on grief and expanding our current knowledge about grief. And I think that was really important for us to share that with the audience and grow with our grief as well. Season three, we're figuring out exactly how we want it to be. We're not 100% sure. We'll be posting in the meantime and let you know. We might do a few bonus episodes because we weren't able to like fit everybody into this season. So maybe we'll do a few bonus episodes as we figure out the exact format of season three, just because, you know, there's still so many good conversations to be had. And depending on how season three looks, we're just very grateful for all the support and the community that we're growing. I'm grateful for everyone sharing their stories as well, because I think there's so much camaraderie and love with sharing your grief with each other. So just want to say thank you for everyone that supported us.
Yeah, thank you so much. This has been a wonderful episode. This has been a wonderful season. And we really couldn't have done it without those who came on the show to share their experiences and those who listened to the show.
Yes. And also, like I said, we'll be on hiatus for season three. So stay tuned for updates on our socials and everything for when that season kicks off. But in the meantime, we will be posting on the Griefy Girls Book Club. We're going to kind of be revamping the format. So if you've listened to it, we're going to be doing it a little differently to make it a little bit more fun and interesting. And also for us to be able to include more books in our posts, because we love reading. We're going to be talking about grief books, but also just like other books and things that we're reading and excited about as well. I think there's healing in reading, period, whether it's a grief book or not, because sometimes you just want to healing or escapism. I'm not sure, but I think it's nice to enter another world through a story. So that's a big reason why I like reading. So stay tuned for those episodes, because we'll still be posting those in our regular format. So you still will have content just on our other account while we figure out season three. Do you have any other thoughts on the Griefy Book Club before we wrap it up?
No, I'm really excited. We have already been reading a few great books and can't wait to have more conversations about the impact of the book, but also more conversations with authors. That's been really fun.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll have more authors on soon, because that's been very interesting. All right, everybody. Thank you again for listening to season two, and we'll see you for season three.
Bye.